Mock exam. I am going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now, open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. Question 1. You hear a woman talking about travelling.
I've always loved travelling. Many people do. But I think that what most people enjoy is the destination and getting to know a different place. What I love is the journey. I can't understand people that complain about long flights or having to change trains several times along the way. A lot of what others call a hassle, having to wait at a train station for 3 hours to make a connection or needing to change terminals at airports, I simply see as part of the adventure. These are the things that make trips interesting for me. It's also where the best travel anecdotes come from. I've always loved travelling. Many people do. But I think that what most people enjoy is the destination and getting to know a different place. What I love is the journey. I can't understand people that complain about long flights or having to change trains several times along the way. A lot of what others call a hassle, having to wait at a train station for 3 hours to make a connection or needing to change terminals at airports, I simply see as part of the adventure. These are the things that make trips interesting for me. It's also where the best travel anecdotes come from.
Question 2. You hear a man and a woman talking about work.
Now that does it. I can't believe my boss did that.
That sounds bad. What happened?
It's just so unfair. We've been working on a project for weeks. We've been staying late and even going into the office on weekends because it had to be done by next Monday. And now, all of a sudden, she's decided to hand it over to another department. We did all that work and put in all those long hours for nothing. I bet they won't even look at what we've already done. Now that does it. I can't believe my boss did that.
That sounds bad. What happened?
It's just so unfair. We've been working on a project for weeks. We've been staying late and even going into the office on weekends because it had to be done by next Monday. And now, all of a sudden, she's decided to hand it over to another department. We did all that work and put in all those long hours for nothing. I bet they won't even look at what we've already done.
Question 3. You hear a woman talking about one of her hobbies.
There is nothing better in life than to grab an interesting spy novel on a rainy afternoon, sit on the couch with your feet up in front of the fire, and let yourself be taken to East Berlin or Moscow on a mission. I know some women prefer romance novels, but I'd take a good spy plot over a romantic tale any day. Besides, most spy novels include some spicy scenes. If you don't believe me, go ask good old James. Mr. Bond doesn't suffer from lack of romance in his life. There is nothing better in life than to grab an interesting spy novel on a rainy afternoon, sit on the couch with your feet up in front of the fire, and let yourself be taken to East Berlin or Moscow on a mission. I know some women prefer romance novels, but I'd take a good spy plot over a romantic tale any day. Besides, most spy novels include some spicy scenes. If you don't believe me, go ask good old James. Mr. Bond doesn't suffer from lack of romance in his life.
Question 4. You hear a man talking about buying a house.
My wife and I have been trying to save up some money for a deposit on a house. We've been married for 4 years now. We feel quite confident that we will stay in this area for a while, so we think it's time to find a house to buy. Of course, we will have to get a mortgage, which means we'll need to have at least 10 or 20% of the value of the house in cash as a down payment. Both our jobs pay well enough, but still, saving up that much money will take us a couple of years at least. My wife and I have been trying to save up some money for a deposit on a house. We've been married for 4 years now. We feel quite confident that we will stay in this area for a while, so we think it's time to find a house to buy. Of course, we will have to get a mortgage, which means we'll need to have at least 10 or 20% of the value of the house in cash as a down payment. Both our jobs pay well enough, but still, saving up that much money will take us a couple of years at least.
Question 5. You hear a man and a woman talking about food.
Do you know any good restaurants in the city?
What kind of food are you looking for?
I'm not sure. I quite like Chinese food, but I think I'm looking for something a bit more exotic.
In that case, I know exactly where you can go. There's this little place on Maple Street that serves Indonesian food. I've only been there once, and what I had was quite tasty, although reading the menu was a bit of a challenge. Most of the dishes they serve were a complete mystery to me. Luckily, I went with a friend, and so he did all the ordering. I had no idea what I was eating, but it was absolutely delicious.
That sounds just like what I'm after. Thanks. Do you know any good restaurants in the city?
What kind of food are you looking for?
I'm not sure. I quite like Chinese food, but I think I'm looking for something a bit more exotic.
In that case, I know exactly where you can go. There's this little place on Maple Street that serves Indonesian food. I've only been there once, and what I had was quite tasty, although reading the menu was a bit of a challenge. Most of the dishes they serve were a complete mystery to me. Luckily, I went with a friend, and so he did all the ordering. I had no idea what I was eating, but it was absolutely delicious.
That sounds just like what I'm after. Thanks.
Question 6. You hear a young man talking about exams.
I'm 22 years old, and I've been a student most of my life. I enjoy my lessons, and my coursework is usually quite decent. But I do have a serious problem with exams. I hate them. I get incredibly nervous just thinking about them, and it only gets worse as the date of the exam approaches. I would much rather be assessed on a final essay. I even prefer giving a presentation in front of the class to taking an exam. What's worse is that even though I know the answers, my nerves always end up getting the better of me, and I can't ever finish even half of it before all the papers have to be collected in. I'm 22 years old, and I've been a student most of my life. I enjoy my lessons, and my coursework is usually quite decent. But I do have a serious problem with exams. I hate them. I get incredibly nervous just thinking about them, and it only gets worse as the date of the exam approaches. I would much rather be assessed on a final essay. I even prefer giving a presentation in front of the class to taking an exam. What's worse is that even though I know the answers, my nerves always end up getting the better of me, and I can't ever finish even half of it before all the papers have to be collected in.
Question 7. You hear a woman talking about her family.
I have a really big family. My mother has 6 siblings, and each of them has at least 3 kids. We all meet up for family gatherings a few times a year, and very often 5 cousins also come, along with their own kids. I love these big family gatherings because I don't have any brothers or sisters. In fact, I'm the only one in the family who doesn't, so I think of my cousins as siblings. It's almost deafening when we all get together, as you can imagine, especially now that my generation has started to have children of our own. I have a really big family. My mother has 6 siblings, and each of them has at least 3 kids. We all meet up for family gatherings a few times a year, and very often 5 cousins also come, along with their own kids. I love these big family gatherings, because I don't have any brothers or sisters. In fact, I'm the only one in the family who doesn't, so I think of my cousins as siblings. It's almost deafening when we all get together, as you can imagine, especially now that my generation has started to have children of our own.
Question 8. You hear a man and a woman talking about home repairs.
Oh no, the garage door has stopped working again. I'll have to call the service people on Monday. That'll be the 3rd time in 2 months. I'm getting rather fed up with this. Maybe we should just replace the door with a new one.
Nonsense. I can fix it.
Are you sure? Remember last time when you tried to fix the sink in the kitchen? We ended up having to replace the whole thing because you didn't seal it properly.
Well, that was unfortunate, I admit. But this is completely different. That time it was a plumbing issue. This time it's a simple mechanical problem. Leave it to me. I'll have the door up and running in no time.
I really wish you wouldn't. Oh no, the garage door has stopped working again. I'll have to call the service people on Monday. That'll be the 3rd time in 2 months. I'm getting rather fed up with this. Maybe we should just replace the door with a new one.
Nonsense. I can fix it.
Are you sure? Remember last time when you tried to fix the sink in the kitchen? We ended up having to replace the whole thing because you didn't seal it properly.
Well, that was unfortunate, I admit. But this is completely different. That time it was a plumbing issue. This time it's a simple mechanical problem. Leave it to me. I'll have the door up and running in no time.
I really wish you wouldn't.
That is the end of part 1. Now turn to part 2. You will hear a presentation on automated cars. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
The idea of having vehicles that could drive themselves has existed in the world of science fiction for many decades. For instance, there was a 1980s TV show that revolved around an automated car. Films have included self-driving spacecraft, and we all know about planes flying on autopilot. Some degree of automation in cars has been in use for a number of years now. For quite some time, cars have had a cruise control function designed to maintain a car's constant speed on motorways or roads with little traffic. More recently, the majority of modern cars now have parking assistance installed, which can be anything from beeping sounds that become louder or more frequent the closer we get to the car behind us, to cars that perform the entire parking manoeuvre themselves. But a truly automated car has not been possible, until now. Why now? Because we finally have all the different bits of technology necessary to achieve this. In order for a car to drive itself, with no assistance from a human driver, it needs to be able to determine where it is in the world around it and in relation to other objects, including, very importantly, other moving vehicles. It needs to see what's around it and to interpret these things as being obstacles, vehicles, pedestrians, or even signals. It needs to be able to read signals in case there are disruptions to roads or traffic. And it must be able to control its speed and route, adjusting these as necessary, all the while with minimal reaction time. The essential technology for all this consists of global positioning systems, proximity sensors and real-time information about traffic and road conditions, being able to scan and process visual input, and having a very fast processor on board. A lot of this technology has been available for a while now, but it was usually for other purposes. So, until now, nobody had thought to bring all these elements together to create a self-driving car. And that is exactly what we have created. A car that doesn't even require a human to be aboard for it to be able to circulate on real roads efficiently and, what's more, safely. The implications of this are enormous. For one thing, the time most people spend commuting to work every day can now be devoted to reading, sleeping, talking on the phone, or simply relaxing. But this is far from the greatest advantage presented by automated cars. If all cars on the road were automated, the number of traffic accidents would drop dramatically. The most optimistic forecasts indicate that if no car were controlled by a human, there would be no accidents at all. Most accidents are due to human error, someone getting distracted or tired, speeding or making a dangerous turn. If computers controlled all the cars that were circulating on the roads at any one time, none of these errors would happen. And since these computers would be aware of just where all the other vehicles were, then the result would be zero collisions. In addition, traffic jams would disappear because automated cars could anticipate a concentration of vehicles, adjust their route accordingly, and prevent a gridlock. Roads would have increased capacity as the currently accepted safe distance between vehicles could be reduced, given that the reaction times and adjustments to speed would be much faster than with human drivers. So, what's standing in the way of automated cars taking over our roads and fixing all of our transportation problems? Simply put, the law. Technology always develops faster than laws can adapt to it, and at this time, traffic regulations in most countries do not allow driverless cars. But, as with all things, this will change, and soon we will start seeing these fantastic inventions driving past us on our way to work, and we'll all want to have one.
Now you will hear part two again.
The idea of having vehicles that could drive themselves has existed in the world of science fiction for many decades. For instance, there was a 1980s TV show that revolved around an automated car. Films have included self-driving spacecraft, and we all know about planes flying on autopilot. Some degree of automation in cars has been in use for a number of years now. For quite some time, cars have had a cruise control function designed to maintain a car's constant speed on motorways or roads with little traffic. More recently, the majority of modern cars now have parking assistance installed, which can be anything from beeping sounds that become louder or more frequent the closer we get to the car behind us, to cars that perform the entire parking manoeuvre themselves. But a truly automated car has not been possible, until now. Why now? Because we finally have all the different bits of technology necessary to achieve this. In order for a car to drive itself, with no assistance from a human driver, it needs to be able to determine where it is in the world around it and in relation to other objects, including, very importantly, other moving vehicles. It needs to see what's around it and to interpret these things as being obstacles, vehicles, pedestrians, or even signals. It needs to be able to read signals in case there are disruptions to roads or traffic. And it must be able to control its speed and route, adjusting these as necessary, all the while with minimal reaction time. The essential technology for all this consists of global positioning systems, proximity sensors and real-time information about traffic and road conditions, being able to scan and process visual input, and having a very fast processor on board. A lot of this technology has been available for a while now, but it was usually for other purposes. So, until now, nobody had thought to bring all these elements together to create a self-driving car. And that is exactly what we have created. A car that doesn't even require a human to be aboard for it to be able to circulate on real roads efficiently and, what's more, safely. The implications of this are enormous. For one thing, the time most people spend commuting to work every day can now be devoted to reading, sleeping, talking on the phone, or simply relaxing. But this is far from the greatest advantage presented by automated cars. If all cars on the road were automated, the number of traffic accidents would drop dramatically. The most optimistic forecasts indicate that if no car were controlled by a human, there would be no accidents at all. Most accidents are due to human error, someone getting distracted or tired, speeding or making a dangerous turn. If computers controlled all the cars that were circulating on the roads at any one time, none of these errors would happen. And since these computers would be aware of just where all the other vehicles were, then the result would be zero collisions. In addition, traffic jams would disappear because automated cars could anticipate a concentration of vehicles, adjust their route accordingly, and prevent a gridlock. Roads would have increased capacity as the currently accepted safe distance between vehicles could be reduced, given that the reaction times and adjustments to speed would be much faster than with human drivers. So, what's standing in the way of automated cars taking over our roads and fixing all of our transportation problems? Simply put, the law. Technology always develops faster than laws can adapt to it, and at this time, traffic regulations in most countries do not allow driverless cars. But, as with all things, this will change, and soon we will start seeing these fantastic inventions driving past us on our way to work, and we'll all want to have one.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3. You will hear 5 short extracts in which people are talking about winter. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list A to H, how each speaker feels about winter. Use the letters only once. There are 3 extra letters which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3.